So what was the purpose of the week of prayer? Was it to get answered prayer? Yes. I hope you prayed with an expectation that God was going to do something, right? Amen. It was a week of fasting, a time of torturing ourselves, if you took that time to do that, right? For a purpose, for to see God move, to receive a promise, maybe this week as you were praying. Maybe you didn't see the answer to the prayer, but God just encouraged you through his word saying, I've got this, I'm going to take care of it, trust me. Maybe it was a time for initiating or reinforcing a spiritual discipline, maybe that you've kind of allowed to go lax and you haven't been as faithful to it as you should be. So those are good things. But I believe the objective that we had this past week was to get alone with God. And I hope that's what you did. I hope you took that time. And maybe it will set a precedent for us for this next week, the next month, and throughout the year. And so when we get alone with God, some things begin to happen. Things transpire. I don't know about you, but every time I open the Word, I hopefully receive something from it. Probably 99% of the time, something comes alive, something speaks to my heart when I do that. There are times, sure, that maybe I don't feel like anything happened, but how many know that when we get in the presence of God, when we pray, when we spend time in the Word, something takes place in our life? And so I would look at two verses here just to kind of set the precedent. There's a lot of scriptures where Jesus took his disciples away from the crowds to be alone with them. And in Mark chapter 4, we see this happening twice. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. But if we would condense that today, we would read it, when he was alone, the 12 asked him. It's a good opportunity for us, example for us here today to know that we can be in the presence of God and ask those things that maybe we don't quite understand. Mark chapter 4, verse 34. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with them, with his own disciples, he explained everything. So it's in this solitude with him that transparency takes place. And it's in this place that sometimes the spotlight goes on. And maybe it's that in that moment that God looks into our lives with a microscope. And we begin to see some things clearly as he reveals them to us. And so I'd like to paraphrase a principle found in the Bible. The Bible says, when we use what we have, he gives us more. Do you know that's a principle throughout the Bible? That when we use what we have, he gives us more. But how many know it's the opposite is true? That if we don't use it, guess what? We lose it, right? And in one incident, he said he actually takes it away and gives it to somebody else. When we use what we have, he gives us more. And Jesus expressed this in his teaching and in his parables. And as we look around, sometimes we see the blessings that are happening in people's life and we say, that's not fair. But on God's point of view, it's a lot of wisdom, right? Why would we place money on a lame horse? Think about it this morning. God is going to bless those that are using what they have. And if they're using what they have, guess what? He is going to give them more. We know examples about that. The Bible talks about knowledge, right? We're walking in the light. We have knowledge. And we walk in that knowledge. What does God do? He gives us more. If we have money, the Bible says that we are stewards of God's money. And if we give, the Bible says in Malachi, what? He will give back. He will open up the windows of heaven, right? And pour out a blessing. But you got to use what you have. Authority. How many knows if you don't walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, you kind of lose it? How many know that God promotes people? The Bible says if we humble ourselves and we become a servant, we become obedient to him, guess what? He promotes us. He exalts us. So this is a principle that we find in the Bible. You remember when you began to swim? And maybe you were like, Joe, I don't know. This is to help keep them awake. But when our kids were learning to swim, you just don't throw them into the deep end. Right, Joe? Some people do that, right? You want to learn to swim? Throw them in. They're going to learn, right? Or they're going to drown. I did that one day. I was a counselor at camp, kids camp, threw a kid in, and he started drowning, so I had to jump in and save his life. So it's not a good precedent to start, that you just start him out in the deep end, all right? We didn't start out in the deep end of the pool when we began to learn to swim. We started in the shallow and worked our way to the deep end, because the deep end of the pool is where we wanted to be. Because what was at the end of the deep end of the pool? The sliding board was there. The diving board was there. The big kids were there. Plus, there was fewer people. And there was no clingy, pesky kids hanging on you, right? Like you are in the shallows. So we start in the shallow and go to the deep. And our goal is to dive into the deep end of spirituality. How many know that God doesn't want us to stay where we got in? He wants us to grow up, and he wants us to become mature in him. So the time we spend alone with Jesus, the more we're going to learn about him, life, and ourselves. And Jesus purposely found time to be alone with his disciples. It didn't always work out that way. And I imagine they were frustrated at times, because there was times that Jesus would pull them away and the crowds would come. Just when the day was over and they were tired, they were exhausted, Jesus always welcomed people into his circle. So Jesus purposely found a time to be alone with his disciples. Because in those moments, that's where we can ask the questions. Questions are asked. If you know the story and the Gospels, you know that it was in those times that the disciples would come to Jesus and ask him questions. And it was in those moments that the deeper spiritual lessons were taught. They got the inside scoop. They heard things that nobody else was able to hear. Directions were given in those moments. And sometimes there were shortcomings that were exposed. It was in those moments, a lot of times, that Jesus rebuked his disciples. It was in those moments he pointed out their fallacy of their thinking. And so the shortcomings were exposed. Jesus does not take us alone and explain things to us all the time. Every time we get together, we don't necessarily hear God saying, you need to do this, do that, you need to stop doing this, you need to start. We don't always have those opportunities. We don't always have that every time we meet with him. But he explains things to us as we can understand them. How many know that when he begins to teach us, guess what? We begin to walk in those things. And why would God give us more understanding, more wisdom, and more insight if we're not going to even do what we already know? So we need to get alone with God. Because I believe when we get alone with God, in those moments, sometimes there's dead air, right? Where there's no response. It's just us seemingly doing all the talking. Nothing's coming back our way. But I believe in those moments, God is preparing us to hear what he wants us wants to say to us. Excuse me. So, the objective is to get alone with Jesus. And as we know, Peter, he had a, Peter was a leader. How many know that? Peter was one who was outspoken. And Peter tended to mind other people's business more than his own. And so, as you know, the story of they were out fishing and he was on the shore, Jesus was on the shore and he came in. Jesus asked them three questions, right? The same question. Do you love me? Remember that? And so after he got through the third time and Jesus was explaining to him, I want you to take care of my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. What did Peter do? He turned around, looked at John and said, what about him? How many of us in a relationship with God are always worried about the other guy? God wants us to contend with ourselves. We are our own biggest obstacle. And it is amazing how ignorant we are about ourselves. Do we know and recognize within us envy at times? Do we see the laziness within us, maybe the pride or the greed? Maybe those things that are dwelling in the dark places of our life? How many of us have learned to look inward with courage? It takes courage to look inward, to ask that question, Lord, is there something in me that is not pleasing to you? That is a hard question to ask, because the truth is we really don't want to know. We really don't want to know. But Jesus, when we get alone with him, there may be those times that he begins to share with us there are some things in our life that are not quite right that need to be made right. Oswald Chambers writes, "We have to get rid of the idea that we understand ourselves. It is the last conceit to go." It's kind of a slap in the face, isn't it? It is the last conceit to go. The only one who understands us is God. The greatest curse in spiritual life is conceit. If we have ever had a glimpse of what we are like in the sight of God, we shall never say, "Oh, I am so unworthy," because we shall know we are, beyond the possibility of stating it. You know, some of us feel guilty because we got caught, not because we're sorry. As long as we are not quite sure that we are unworthy, God will keep narrowing us in until he gets us alone. Folks, we're scared to be alone with God. We like the noise. We like the music. We like everything. We need stuff going around us. But to get alone in the presence of God is kind of a scary thing at times. Because when we get alone with God, that's where we do business. That's where we allow him to speak to us. Not us just speaking to him, but allowing him to speak into our lives. When we refuse to accept the revelation of the undesirable things in our lives, Jesus cannot expound a thing. So as long as we're hanging on to some of those things, what we are doing is hindering the Spirit of God, the voice of God, from working in our lives. The Lord, who is our shepherd, loves us so much that he will purposely lead us to where he can get us alone. We're all familiar with Psalm 23. This is a psalm of David. And we only, for some reason, read this at funerals. But how many know David was not describing a funeral when he wrote it? He was talking about his life and the blessings that God wanted to do in his life. Because he found in the presence of the shepherd, the great shepherd, he was a shepherd, he understood this, that there are places you want to be with God. And look what the scripture says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, if we would understand that here today, if we hung out with the shepherd, there wouldn't be anything else we'd want. As believers today, all we do is want. But if we hang out with the shepherd, guess what? I shall not want, because what? You will have everything you need. You will have everything you need. Look what it goes on in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Those are great things. Those are awesome. This is what God wants to do for you. But as sheep, how many know we don't always follow the shepherd? And so we go on to verse 4, and we find out that there are some times he takes us down other paths to where he wants us to go or be. He wants us in the green pastures. He wants us beside the still water. He wants us in the paths of righteousness. But we always don't always find ourselves there. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Sometimes the shepherd leads us down some dark paths into some various situations where what? Some things are revealed in our life. He said he has these places prepared for us. But sometimes we got to go places we don't think we need to go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Circumstances have a way of revealing what's inside of us. And if we're going to follow the shepherd, guess what? He's going to lead us. He's going to talk to us. And we as a sheep need to listen. Jesus quoted in John 15, what? My sheep know me and They know my voice. So wherever there is an element of pride, conceit, wrong desires, maybe even fears, whatever it is, Jesus cannot expound on anything. He will take us through disappointments of a wounded pride of intellect and disappointments of the heart. He will reveal unwarranted affections, things over which we never thought he would have to get alone to deal with. Jesus dealt with some situations even as he was discipling his disciples. He had to bring them to a place where there was a revelation of what was inside of them. And there was times he said, this is not of God. The spirit that you have is not the spirit of God. We have listened to many people listening and explaining the word of God. But yet, we hear the word, but it's not being displayed in our life. That's the reason why God wants us to get alone with him and allow them to become truth in us. I don't want this to be a Debbie Downer sermon, but it's a place that God brings us to that he wants to lift us up. Amen. The Bible says we can know the truth, and what? The truth will set us free. How many of us are very truthful for those around us? How many of us enable people more than we actually tell them the truth? God's not in the enabling business. He's in the truth business. That if there's a part of our life that needs to be adjusted, he wants us to adjust it. Because if we're going to be disobedient to what he's asking us to do, he's not going to give us more. We're going to keep coming back to that one thing until we deal with it. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. It's not just sin that entangles us and trips us up. There are other things that can trip us up. Good things that can trip us up. Good things that can steal our devotion to God. And we need to be very careful. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Some of us are running a race with a backpack on, full of stuff. And how many know you're not going to win a race with a backpack full of stuff on your back? Let me just give one more biblical example here today. In Matthew 16, the disciples have been with Jesus for a period of time. And Peter's maturity level is growing. And I believe if Jesus would have said this to Peter at the beginning of his relationship with Peter, Peter probably would have walked away. In this story, we have Matthew 16:21. Let me just read it. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. In verse 22, it says, Peter took him aside. Peter took Jesus aside. He was alone with Jesus. He said, come here, Jesus. We have to have a talk. And he began to rebuke him. Amen. That's like calling my district officials, my superintendent, or going to the general counsel and say, hey, come here. I got something to share with you. Peter took him aside. They were alone. And he said, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. And what's Jesus' response? Remember, it's just the two of them here. Peter and Jesus together. And Jesus turned and said to him, get behind me, Satan. How would you like to hear those words? Those are bruisers, aren't they? You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So what am I saying here today? I'm saying that we have a lot of concerns that are our own. And God comes along, Jesus comes along in a relationship and says, hey, you know, let's change some things up here. I'm the boss, you're not. And there are some things in your life that you need to deal with. Because Jesus goes on and says there, then Jesus said to all of his disciples, he was including them all now, whoever wants to be my disciples must, what? Deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then it will reward each person according to what they have done. Deny ourselves. Take up our crosses and follow him. There's some things in our life that we just need to lose. We need to shake off to follow him. Let me just close with this illustration here this morning. This box represents my life. Kind of scary, isn't it? It represents my life here this morning. And as we have moved multiple times, all those things that I treasured, those trophies, those ribbons, those certificates, those things that I thought were kind of cool, every time we'd move, I'd go through it and throw some more away. I have a box probably not much bigger than this at home that has all my memories, those things that I thought were important. But as time's gone on, I found that I look back and it's like, I don't even remember this. I don't know what it meant to me. And it's gone. But this life here today represents my life. And there are things that are constantly being put in my box. There's a lifetime's of worth of things that I have put in my box. There are good things. There are some useful things. There's a lot of clutter. I don't know how many of you have clutter. But there are also some harmful things. And we all know that there is only so much room in this box. And there's only so much stuff that I can put in this box. And so it comes as I have a relationship with God, as I talk to God and walk with God along the way. Okay. That sometimes I hear that, you know, I've got to get rid of some stuff. There are some things that need to be sorted out. If I want more of what God has for me, I've got to take some stuff out of my box. You know, most of you have helped us move, a good many of you. How many remember room number 2? And I want to tell you that room number two looks the same as it does when you moved everything in. That's scary, isn't it? We don't even know what we have. There are certain things that we do know, and we know it's in there somewhere. But there's other things that are in there. We have no idea what's in there. And we've been through so many moves that we've gone through things, and it's like, where did we get this? Where did this come from? When did we get this thing? And so in our life, it's the same way. As we're walking through life, we pick up a lot of things and we put them in our box. And things need to be sorted out. And how many know it's not easy? Because at one time we thought they were treasured, we thought they were important enough to be in our box. But it's only when we get alone with God, right, and we begin to listen to his voice that he says, you know, maybe it's time to let go of this. You know, when we got saved, some of us came out of some bad situations. And God did some immediate works in our life, some great things that we changed just like that. But there is other things that it's taken years, and maybe you still haven't let go. That's still in your box. That God's been working on you for forever, and we just keep putting it to the back or the bottom of the box. But maybe it's time that we begin to say, okay, Lord, I'm opening my box. This is very hard, and I need your help. That can only take place when we're alone with God. Amen. When we are listening to his voice. When we get alone with God, I began, something transpires. There's a transparency that takes place. When we get alone with God, He reveals things. He opens up our eyes. And little bit by little bit, we begin to let go of things. I'm glad today that God doesn't just dump on us. Aren't you glad here this morning He just didn't come down and say, these are the 100 things I want you to change by next week? Aren't you glad? But He's patient. He's patient. And for some of us have been dealing with the same issues for years, and we just kind of can't seem to let go. And the truth is, we can't let go. We need help. And I want to encourage you here this morning that He wants you to get alone with Him. The purpose of getting alone with Him in the Word and in prayer is that He wants to speak to you, that He wants to empower you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you a way out. Just because I quote Scripture may not be the way of deliverance, just because I have a problem in my life. Maybe there's some other things that need to take place. And if I don't know what those other things are, then it's never going to change. I believe the Word of God is powerful. I believe the Spirit of God is powerful. But maybe He's not that powerful in me. Maybe He's not that powerful in you as of yet. We need to get alone with God. We need a game plan. We need His help. You see, it was when the disciples got alone that they began to ask the questions. In church, maybe not be the place where you ask the questions. But when we get alone with God, and if we're serious, He will speak to us. We just went through a week of prayer, kind of setting an agenda for the year that, hey, this stuff works. Because He works. We just sang it. He is faithful. He's a miracle worker. He's all those things. But we need to experience those things for ourselves here this morning. So I encourage you this morning, it's time to look in your box. It's time to allow Jesus to look in your box. Because there are some things He wants to deal with. He wants to use you. He wants to give you more stuff than what we can even contain, right? He wants to pour it out in your life. We just got to make room for it. Father, we just come to You this morning. We're just coming out of a week of prayer. Tonight we're going to just worship You and be in Your presence, Father. Lord, I don't want this prayer, this sermon to be a discouraging sermon, but Lord, something to get us to think a little bit, to just contemplate that, Lord, the purpose of even spending a devotional time with You is to be alone with You, to be in Your presence, not just to get something from You, not just because we need answers to our prayers, but it's to be with You. When we look at that illustration of the mustard seed, the idea is that we don't stay at a point of just being a mustard seed, but that our faith grows into a giant 30-foot tree. That's what that whole illustration is about, that faith grows. And Lord, our faith grows when we know more about You, when we understand who You are, not what we've been told, but because we experience it for ourselves, because we are in relationship with You, because we hang out with You, because we talk to You and You talk to us. That, Lord, we have Your Word that promises us some amazing things. Today, Lord, we come to You, Lord, maybe our faith is as big as a mustard seed. And some of us have already have been down the road and our faith is a little bigger than just the mustard seed. But we're on that journey. And the good news is you meet us wherever we're at on that journey. You supply our needs when we're on that journey, wherever we're at. No matter how big our faith is, Lord, you meet us where we're at. And that's exciting. Because, Lord, you're not waiting for us to get to a specific destination for you to finally do something in our lives. But you choose to use us as we're journeying on with you, as we're growing in you, as we're maturing in you. And I pray, Father, that we will take the attitude, Lord, that I'm not perfect. I'm not there. I have not arrived. We talked about that. In the writings of Oswald Chambers, Lord, we don't want to get to the place where we just say, I'm unworthy. Lord, we understand we're unworthy. But Lord, you make us worthy. Hallelujah. You make us worthy. Hallelujah. Father, we humble ourselves before you today, and we just, as we wrap up this week of prayer, Lord, we just know that you're faithful, that, Lord, that what we began, Lord, we want to continue on. We want to be people of your word. We want to be people of prayer. We want to be people of the Spirit. And I pray that today, Father, that we will just connect with that this morning and just say, Thou will be done, hallelujah, in our lives here this morning. I love you, Lord, and I just give you praise. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your people. Hallelujah. Amen.